I'm going to argue that Jefferson's greatest literary legacy is actually his resumption of and contribution to a remarkable correspondence with John Adams. Considered by many to be the greatest work of early American letters, the correspondence was self-consciously written for posterity. And it represents one of the noblest achievements of the founding generation, as two partisan foes reached across the chasm, the divide of political disagreement, to reestablish their affection and state their creeds. And Jefferson and Adams had, in fact, been extremely close friends since the first great collaboration at the Continental Congress. In fact, in some ways, Jefferson was the junior partner to Adams. Both were the champions of independence. Both were the champions of reconstructing state government. And they clearly collaborated quite closely, and there was a lot of affection between them. He writes to James Madison in 1787 the following critique of Adams. "You know the opinion I formerly entertained of my friend, Mr. Adams. Yourself and the governor were the first who shook that opinion. I afterwards saw proofs which convicted him of a degree of vanity and of a blindness to it of which no germ had appeared in Congress." Now, in fact, he's quite right. Adams' vanity is legendary. He's referred to it in the time as his pomposity. But he's wrong to think that Adams is blind to it. Adams himself is actually tortured by it. One of the first entries in his diary is, "Vanity, that is the sin, that is my great sin." Well, I want to continue the letter. "A 7 months' intimacy with him here, and as many weeks in London, have given me opportunities of studying him closely. He is vain, irritable, and a bad calculator of the forces and probable effect of the motives which govern men." This is pretty damning stuff. But what follows is pure Jefferson, and it shows the affection he feels. "This is all the ill which possibly can be said of him. He is as disinterested as the being which made him. He is profound in his views and accurate in his judgment. He is so amiable that I pronounce you will love him if ever you become acquainted with him." Well, what soured that relationship was their political disagreements in the Federalist period. Jefferson's partisan allies castigate Adams, which neither he nor his wife can forgive. For his own part, Jefferson feels deeply hurt over Adams' appointment of the infamous Midnight Judges, the judicial appointments he makes in the month after the election of 1800 is over. Jefferson denies to Adams that heresies he had mentioned in a prefatory note to Paine's Rights of Man were directed at Adams, who had written the Discourses in the Villa. And Adams doesn't believe him. And in fact, it turns out that Adams is right, that he was referring to his old friend. So what emerges is a long silence between them, which is only broken in 1812 by the constant cajoling of Benjamin Rush. And what Benjamin Rush does, and he's one of the few people who's close friends with both Adams and Jefferson, is he claims to Adams that he's had a dream, a vision. A dream in which his son is reading a book, and he asks, "What book is that in your hand?" said I to my son Richard a few nights ago in a dream. "It is the History of the United States," said he. So he opens it, and he looks at the year 1809, which is the year he writes the letter. "In the month of November 1809, Mr. Adams addressed a short letter to his friend, Mr. Jefferson. This letter did great honor to Mr. Adams. It discovered a magnanimity known only to great minds." And Rush knows exactly how to play to Adams. Feed his vanity, feed his pomposity, play to his ego. "These letters were followed by a correspondence of several years, in which they mutually reviewed the scenes of business in which they had been engaged, and candidly acknowledged to each other all the errors of opinion and conduct into which they had fallen during the time they filled the same station in the service of their country. Many precious aphorisms, the result of observation, experience, and profound reflection, it is said, are contained in these letters." And Rush proves prophetic, because that is, in fact, what we'll find in the letters. To Jefferson, he writes 2 years later, "When I consider your early attachment to Mr. Adams, and his to you, when I consider how much the liberties and independence of the United States owe to the concert of your principles and labors, and when I reflect upon the sameness of your opinions at present upon most of the subjects of government and all the subjects of legislation, I have ardently wished a friendly and epistolary intercourse might be revived between you before you take a final leave of the common object of your affections." posterity will revere the friendship of two ex-presidents that were once opposed to each other. I am sure an advance on your side will be a cordial to the heart of Mr. Adams.